Well, good morning. One night, a wife found her husband standing over their infant's crib. And as she watched him looking down at their very first baby, she saw in his face a mixture of emotions. There was disbelief, doubt, delight, amazement, enchantment, and skepticism. Touched by this unusual display and deep emotions it aroused, with eyes glistening, she put her arm around her husband's shoulders and she said, "A penny for your thoughts." He says, "It's just amazing. I just can't see how anybody can make a crib like that for only $75. Sometimes it can be easy to be caught up in the moment and miss the obvious. In our gospel reading, John the Baptist was also in a moment. And he found himself questioning something that should be obvious. So to satisfy his emotion that's boiling up from within, he sent a question to Jesus. "Are you the one that we are to expect, or is there another?" Now, for some, it's hard to imagine John the Baptist asking a question like that. If you look at John's life in review a bit from the last week, you can see why. Remember, John the Baptist was no ordinary man. He was born to a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. He was also a miracle baby of sorts, as Elizabeth was well within her years when she gave birth and became pregnant and gave birth to John. And as mentioned last week, there was a special anointing on John. Gabriel, the angel, told his father he would be a joy and a delight. He would be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will bring back many to the Lord. And he'll have the spirit of Elijah on him. That means that he'll have the anointing of the Holy Spirit like Elijah had. He'll be preparing a way for the Lord. And John the Baptist did all of that. Now, if you enjoy history, it's amazing to look just how the historical context of John the Baptist and Jesus. All this historical data and prophetic words converging on this moment in history where John and Jesus come on the scene together. The last prophet and the Messiah coming into the world together. What a powerful moment that was for Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John, and Mary, when she came to visit him, who was also pregnant with Jesus. And they came together at the door, and the Son of God and his prophet are there together, yet not born yet. And we're told that John felt the presence of the Lord, and he leaped in his mother's womb. And when he became of age to do ministry, he carried out that call that was on his life, to prepare the way of the Lord. He had all these experiences moving under the anointing of God, a fiery preacher. He baptized Jesus and heard the voice from heaven, "This is my son." But then he's thrown in prison. He is in his darkest hour, and he probably begins to wonder when all of that he preached and prepared for is finally going to happen. So he sends a message to Jesus. "Are you the one, or is there someone else?" Why would John ask that question? He knew he was the Messiah. There's a lot of good theories. Maybe John, like many others who heard his words, expected a Messiah to come and lead a mighty army against Rome. Maybe he wanted someone to lead into a new nation and a new land and a new era. In a sense, maybe at this particular moment, he was looking at just the crib, instead of, at that moment, the precious life that was in it. Maybe he was looking at how man might make something happen instead of looking at God himself. God's way of doing things, not necessarily all that we expect. Jesus came into this world in the humblest of ways. His teaching picked up where John left off. Not only did he teach repentance, but forgiveness and healing and mercy and reconnection to the Father. And when John sent his disciples to ask Jesus the question, Jesus sent back the answer, "Go back and report." The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. These would be familiar words to a prophet. He heard them. We heard them this morning in Isaiah. These are the same words that were prophesied from Isaiah some 700 years earlier. These were the things that would happen when the Messiah would come. And John would know these words and what they meant. You see, many expected things to change quickly. It's easy for us to become impatient in God. We want things done our way right now, and God is saying it has to be my way and at the right time. God entered into this present age to give us a foretaste of the age to come, to help us realize that truth in Scripture, to realize his power into this present age, and to release his power. It is in this period, the period that as we wait for the return of Christ, that the things Jesus speaks to John about happens. All the signs and wonders of a loving God interacting with his people and his creation. Everyone he touched and received, the blind, the crippled, the leper, and those who were raised from the dead, they all received something more, the very presence of God in their lives. These were mere examples of things to come. You see, Jesus was glorified in every miracle that he performed. That's what Jesus wanted John to know. And Jesus also reassured the crowd about John. What did you go out to see when you went out to see him in the wilderness? What did you go see? Did you want to see some reed swayed by the wind? In other words, something that would say only what you want to hear? Or did you go out to see a well-dressed guy? Or did you go see a prophet? And he says, yes, and even more than a prophet. And even though John had these questions, Jesus made it perfectly clear. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. You see, John was a man who, despite a lot of opposition, stood on his call. He didn't waver from his call, even though he had questions. He heralded an end, the coming of the Christ. But I want us to hear the very next verse that Jesus said. It's easy to gloss over some of these verses if you read it too quickly, but some are extremely important. When he said, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, who do you think Jesus is talking about? What does Jesus mean by that? You see, John was a great prophet, anointed by God, but he did not see the physical what Jesus was about to do in the near future. He did not experience the resurrection of Jesus while he was here. He did not see the physical releasing of the Holy Spirit on the church. He did not see the Holy Spirit anoint his church in this present age. That is the age between Jesus' ascension and now, the age where we reside. But as we walk out our lives in Christ, we also have issues, don't we? We sometimes become impatient in our walk with the Lord. Anybody get impatient? We may ask, Lord, are you coming? What am I to do until you come? Lord, I want this done and I want that done. But listen to what Paul tells us. Through all the questions we have, through the troubles that we also face, Paul tells us, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The words at hand have a broad meaning. It means he is right here, right now, in our presence, but also waiting for his return. And in the broad sense of that, we have to be patient. As most of you know, our daughter, I've said this several times, we've gone up to the farm. She married a dairy farmer. And this past summer, I enjoyed going out with our son-in-law on the big air-conditioned harvesters as we went out to mow the alfalfa fields. They have about 1,000 acres up in upstate New York. And when we leave, he and I go out and he wants us to pray for his corn crops that have been planted and are only about 4 or 5 feet tall at that time in late summer. Because George realizes something. You can prepare the soil, you can rotate the fields, you can plant the seeds at the proper times, but there are certain things a farmer cannot do. You cannot make that seed grow. There is a time of patient waiting as the seed does what the seed needs to do. Being patient is probably one of the hardest things that we can do. It is the one prayer that we don't like to pray because we might just get an answer. I question sometimes why some people are afraid to pray for patience and get an answer, but they don't believe that other prayers will get answered. But the point is this: God isn't finished yet. He has work for his church to do, because we too have a special calling. That harvest includes us growing in him. It includes being used by the Lord, gifted by the Spirit, and reaching out to others. That does take patience as we wait. Doesn't mean we're complacent, but it does take patience in waiting for the Lord. We get impatient in our jobs. We get impatient in our relationships. Soon we get impatient in everything we do. We want everything in the world around us to be right, and we want it to be right now. And when it doesn't happen as quickly as we want, it starts to affect us. We can easily get discouraged. We can get quarrelsome. We even question God. Are you there? We are allowing ourselves to get into this hurry up and wait mode of life. We get so far ahead of God at times where we think things should be based on our own timetable, that we forget the seeds that the Lord is planting. I found myself doing that in a very small way this past week. As you know, I work on my sermons mostly on Mondays, where it's quiet and I can get it done freshly in my mind and get it done before the end of the week, because a lot of things happen during the week. Well, on Tuesday, I was getting a little bit antsy because I couldn't find the ending to my sermon. I said, "Lord, this is going to be a busy week. I have something to do every evening this week. Debbie is going out of town on Thursday. And I was listing all these things that I have to get done this week. And then I heard it: Chuck, be still and know that I am God." And it was like, there it is. That's the ending. You see, in that moment, I was focusing on the crib, the structure, the words, get it out, done, get it over with. But the fact of the matter is this: in the midst of our hurriedness, in the midst of our disappointments and how we think things should be, in the midst of discouragements that life throws our way, in all of that, sense the very presence of God. Because there are times in our lives that we'll feel like John, slightly unsure of ourselves, doubtful at times, discouraged at times. And we may ask, where is God in this? I want to tell you, he hasn't gone anywhere. Christ has broken through this present age. He has given us his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to bring peace to us, to counsel us, to give power to us, to do greater things than even Jesus did, because he told us that's what we would do, to carry out his work, his ministry, until he comes again. And he will come again. And we patiently wait for that great day, either in our lifetime or way in the future. We don't know. However, until that day comes, we continue to seek all he has for us through the Holy Spirit, and all that we can do for him through the gifts that he has given us. Don't get caught up in just looking at the crib. Look what's inside. Family of God, you are the ones Jesus said would be greater. His power has not changed. His promises have not changed. Don't be swayed by false doctrine that would tell you anything else but what God has revealed. He is at work in creation. He was at work through the prophets. And he is still at work through the Holy Spirit working in and through us, his church. He is at work among us here today and in bodies of Christ, the body of Christ throughout the world. Allow him to use you. Allow him to work through you. Yes, times of discouragement and disappointments may come our way, but Jesus is right there with you, walking you through that, whatever it is. Keep your eyes on him. Allow his Spirit to resonate through you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us your Spirit to walk out this life that you have given us here and now. And until you return, you have given us a work to do. Help us to know that, Lord God. Help us to see that as we patiently wait for the call in our lives to do whatever it is you want us to do. Whenever that right door opens, whatever it is, Lord, for whatever moment, whether it's sharing with somebody, speaking to somebody, or whatever it is. So, Lord, I ask that you would use each of us. Guide us by your Spirit. Fill us with your presence. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.